Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show. It's coming in on the burning lights. We're running away, we're running tonight. Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 519, recorded from the De Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host, my cousin Mike down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm good.
Oh, sorry to bother you. Am I interrupting something over here?
No, my camera zoom lens thing is bothering me.
Are you having technology issues?
No, we're good. We got it fixed.
Okay.
I was a little too close, so I wanted to zoom back out so that you could get the full effect of
I appreciate that. My
manliness.
Yes, I appreciate that. Well, I'll be up close and personal this week, which is good. I'm looking forward to it. Check into my flight tomorrow. Got my bags packed. You didn't care about that, though, did you, when I sent you that message?
No, I knew why you sent it, because you're, like, ecstatic.
Yeah, and coming you got mad at me.
No, I'm like, why did you send me this?
I had Doc help me pick out the golf clothes so I don't look like a complete buffoon.
So you're going a little conservative? Or?
Yeah, I got regular shorts, nothing too crazy, and a couple solid shirts.
Are you gonna wear some apparel from like Rhode Island stuff? You got some Valley Golf and Country Club shirts, logo shirts that you could wear?
I actually have a Warwick Country Club shirt I'm gonna wear.
Oh, that a boy, I like seeing that.
Yep, that's gonna be one of them. And then
sailboat on it.
It's got the flag.
Is that their logo?
Yeah, it's like a nautical flag. Yeah, I got one of those. I got a North Kingstown golf course hat I'll be wearing.
Oh, so you're going to throw some public garbage golf course.
They don't have to know. Too. They don't know. I got a Valley
shirt. You're doing a home and home with Gerard. Is that where you're taking him? Is to North
Kingstown? Yeah, I guess so. At this point, it might as well.
Dave's going to be there. We're going to bring it up to him again, right?
Well, I don't see the point of beating a dead horse. Obviously, he didn't get the invite back because he wasn't nice enough to invite me. He's not going to be in our flight, huh? He's padding that handicap.
Oh, he's
struggling.
Yeah.
What's new?
He's in the 20s. Not much.
No.
No.
You said you had some fights at your house doing chores today?
Oh, yeah. Just getting all the weeds up. It takes forever. And then they're literally, it's like they start growing like 60 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
So you can't pull them up.
Oh, because the roots are so...
Yeah, you can't get the roots, so you can get the... So then I got everything, and I'm trying to clean it up, and then I got the garden weasel.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing gets tangled, and then you can't untangle that. So then I start smashing that on the ground.
Does that help?
No, it doesn't.
I didn't think so.
No, and that's just kind of Susie's take, too.
You don't want to spray anything? You'd rather pick the weeds?
No, I spray him too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I do everything.
Oh, there you go.
I told her if there wasn't a chance that we could like completely burn down my house, I just want to burn everything.
There's ways to do that.
Is there like I want to douse it with
that's not the
gasoline and just let it go.
I've seen some places that sell like little mini blowtorches for like just burning the weeds in your lawn.
Now, is there a weed preventer that you can use, like to spray or no?
Mm-hmm. Do
we need to go into site one before our practice round?
We can if you want. I don't know.
Because we have to have my landscape lighting diagnosis, too.
Yeah, we do have to do that. I don't know what they have down there for the types of grass you have. That's my problem. I'm not as familiar with the warm season grasses as the cool season grasses. So I'm sure there are, though. I know there are. I just don't know what ones and what the timing is.
I could just put an application on in my flower beds and be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. There's some good stuff.
Can you get me, can I sign up? Can you sign me up tomorrow when you go to work? Can you get me like some type of like, so I'm in your system?
If I go with you, I'll,
you get me the employee discount.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go. I can go if you want to go Wednesday morning to a close one.
Yeah. We could actually go. We could actually hit it on our way. It's actually on our way.
Whatever you want to do. We'll figure that out. We don't have to discuss that right now.
People like listening to this.
That's true. They do like the nonsense. But yeah, I can hook you up. We can figure something out. Anything else? How's the golf game? You're getting sharp. You said you got some good tips.
Yeah, I played so well with Sammy on Friday, and then I went right back to being terrible. I had my first par on 18. I had 8 pars Friday with Sammy.
Yeah.
8 pars parts.
That's a good a month. That's good playing.
And it was 4 and 4. I think I went 42, 44 for an 86.
That's nice.
And then I shot 100 yesterday. I had my first par on 18. I hit a beautiful gap wedge. I laid up right in front of the creek.
Now, traditionally, 18 is the last hole of the round.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we didn't shotgun. No, my first par came on the last hole of the round. Okay. That's correct.
I'm just double checking. All right. So that you could even say your only par at that point.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because we didn't like go into like a sudden death match or anything. Yeah, the only par I had was on 18. That's correct. Okay. Yeah, it was my first and only. So okay.
I shouldn't talk too much because I haven't put a tee in the ground in like 3 months. So could be ugly. You need them on. We need them on the bag.
We played so bad too, like collectively as a team.
Oh really?
So I was in my I was done. I made, you know, my double bogey on 9. So I'm trying to move along. So I go and get my waters, getting ready to go to the backside. One of the guys who was in our group came to get some waters, and we didn't even acknowledge each other. That we got to that silent point.
Everyone is so miserable. It's just everyone is being silent.
I mean, Bill Rossini's a 9. He shot 92. It was you know what though? I shouldn't. I mean, we suck, but it was windy. Kurt said it's probably the windiest we've ever played out there.
That certainly doesn't help.
I mean, it was howling.
That's funny. That makes me laugh. So you think Sam, can you text Sam and see if he wants to loop for us during the member guest?
You want me to text him?
You think he would do it? What's he do during the week?
He practices and plays. He's going down to... Forget where he's playing. I think he's playing the Oaks this week. But you want me to text him and ask him if he wants to loop?
Yeah,
like, I've been begging him to give me the bag on a Monday qualifier. Now he's gonna loop for 215s and a.
But he said he helped you out.
Oh, he totally helped me out.
He'll be reading putts for it. Like, he could drive the cart and we'll just walk down the fairway. Wouldn't that be glorious?
Yeah, having him read our greens, rake our traps. That would be beautiful.
We'd grease them.
If we weren't so cheap, we could have gotten caddies, huh?
I guess. You still can. You're just one text message away. You think Captain would do it?
He'd do anything for money.
I meant for nothing.
Oh yeah, that's probably not.
Anyway, what else is going on? Should we just get into it here?
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me.
What is our? Tell the people about our YouTube page.
What do you want to know about it?
I want to know where they can find it. What's the link?
It's at WDWBTG, youtube.com/@WDWBTG.
That's great. And they should probably subscribe if they go there, shouldn't they?
Subscribe, hit the notification bell.
Leave thumbs ups or thumbs down on our videos. Probably not
some comments.
Down. Comments are good. You have anything in the hopper?
I'm trying to think. I think I'm going to get a dining review up.
We like those. Your latest room review did pretty good.
Latest room review did really well.
Yep. So keep an eye out, see what's coming up over there on our YouTube page. So we
did you watch that one?
Yeah, because I know I left a thumbs up. I don't even remember what it is now, though. Yeah.
It was,
I always give a thumbs up.
It was Oki West.
That's right. Yep, I did watch that one. I always start to watch, and sometimes I get pulled away, but I always, the first thing I do is I leave a thumbs up, even if I don't get the whole way through the video. I try to make sure I leave a thumbs up.
You should figure out how to unlock the TV so that the girls can only watch my YouTube channel.
Just on repeat. Does that count as like views? Like,
nah,
watching
from what
repeat?
I understand, I think it only counts like from one user or whatever. So you can't watch it. Like, I don't know. It's,
you can't leave it on repeat overnight.
Just repeat
and get thousands of views.
Like over at Kurt's house, where he says that every once in a while our podcast comes on. He leaves music on for the dogs when he goes to work. He'll come home to walk them, and our podcast is on. Isn't that great?
That is good. Dogs must hate him. Comes home with us. Could let me out.
That's soothing. Our show is fantastic.
That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, none of your family members listen to it anymore.
No. None of us do either. Mary will listen.
Mine never did. Susie that's never fair. Listened to it.
That's a good point. Yeah, we lost the Cranston base pretty good.
Our that's Cranston okay. Numbers are down. They're not Disney fans anymore. That's fine.
And good that's riddance. True. Good point. Good riddance. That's right.
Right? Am I being harsh or is it?
Unless they're pulling out the credit card for Twin Oaks, good riddance, right?
Absolutely.
Ah, that's beautiful. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit of Flower and Garden 2024 this week. You said you wanted to talk about it. I wasn't going to bring it up because we've been
have been ignoring them.
But you had something on your mind for this one, didn't you?
I'm disappointed.
About what? Tell me.
About the music. About the music scene. There was no reason to even talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people on there that I recognize, but I think, I don't know if they're just cheaping out and they're finding like these local small groups to like fill the weekdays, and then on the weekends they have their quote unquote headliners. But I mean, Richard Marx was there last
yeah,
weekend.
That was the only one that Kristen actually wanted to go to and we missed it.
Berlin, I'm not super familiar with them, but I know they're
Berlin's like, pretty good.
Rick Springfield. He just finished up this weekend. But like, oh, the Commodores are going to be there. Foreigner's Journey, that's like a cover band.
Yep.
The Orchestra, the Pointer Sisters.
I would go see them. Susie has no interest. She doesn't want to go.
At the end of March. That's Easter anyway. I don't think you want to be messing around on Easter. Blue October, they're like a 90s band. Crowder, I've never heard of that.
No.
Jody Messina, she's country. Flock of Seagulls.
Don't know, I've never heard of them.
Oh, they're 80s.
Okay.
Plain White Tees, they have that one song, Hey There Delilah. Herman's Hermits, that's a good one. I like Herman's Hermits. Starship featuring Mickey Thomas, he's on a regular rotation. He's always
Yeah, I think
there.
I'm going to see Daniel.
Oh, he's going to be around for that.
Yeah.
And then, like, May, I don't know anybody.
I don't know anybody in May.
They have, well, Spinners are at the end of May. You know them, obviously. You're a big Spinner guy. Sister Hazel. Lit. They're new this year. They're like a late 90s band, Lit. You would know, the car is in the front yard, and I'm sleeping with my clothes on. Came into the window last night. That's Lit. That's a good song, but I don't know any of their other songs.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't maybe go see them for that. I told Susie I'm getting a itch right now.
Yeah, you haven't been to Disney World in a while.
It's been since right around Christmas.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not a great lineup. I don't know if they're just trying to be like too many things to too many people and having like this. But I don't recognize most of them, the majority of the acts. That might be intentional, and they're just having smaller groups and then just trying to bang out the bigger ones on the weekend. I'm not sure. but you're not a fan.
No, no.
Do you think they're cheaping out, or you think it's just hard now that everyone's touring again? It's harder to get people.
I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to keep harping on them.
Okay.
I mean, you know, back a couple years ago, there were rumors that they were turning the AC down to save money. I mean, I'm going to rip them where they need to be ripped, but there's no evidence that they are cheapening out. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but I wonder if they, because obviously, like, the big names are still draws. Like, you even see it at the Candlelight Processional. Like, the certain people are huge, huge draws. And it, you know, it creates this buzz. They sell out all those dining packages. That's what they want to do. They don't really care about filling the theater. They want to sell out those dining packages. So it makes sense for them to get bigger names in there to sell out those dining packages. I just don't know if it's just in a funny spot now where, like, the demographics are changing enough where those 80s and 70s bands aren't drawing in enough people, but the, like, the 90s and 2000s bands just aren't, like, gonna do it, or they're not easier to sign. I don't know if it's just a demographic thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like the Super Bowl halftime show. You kind of get phased out as you get older. It's like, oh, the halftime show is not for me anymore. It's for the people.
That's a good
there.
Point.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. At this point, maybe you're just getting phased out. 10 years ago, it was in your wheelhouse. Now they're going to people my age. They're going to start going late 90s, early 2000 acts. But I don't even know a lot of these acts. Because we're the people bringing our family. You know what I mean? Like the 50-plus group, they don't care. They don't care about return people in general, but they think who's the most likely to be going, the 30s and 40s people bringing their young families. That's probably who they're trying to target with some of these, but it's definitely all over the place. I agree. There's not a single one on that list that would, even if I lived in Orlando, that would get me to go out.
Right.
Just not anybody that really appeals to me. And there usually is one or two.
Right, absolutely.
And there just isn't. I know there's, like, you know, the Spinners, you've seen them and you like, you know, seeing their show, but it's not really like you are impressed by the performance they put on, but you're not the biggest fan of the Spinners. Like, you don't really care that much.
Yeah, I mean, I like their core songs. I do like.
Right, but it wasn't like there you grew up like, oh, I love the Spinners. You just happen to know a lot of the songs.
And yeah, right.
Great show. So even that, I don't know. Yeah, really not anything in there that blows me away. How about the food? Have you looked at any of the food booths for this year?
I have not.
I haven't really either. I haven't watched many videos or anything, so I'm curious to go through some of them, and we'll see if anything sounds good to us. I guess we'll just start going through it. They have the Farmer's Market booth with potato pancakes and house-made applesauce. Toasted pretzel bread topped with Black Forest ham and melted cheese. All right, it's a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yep.
Warm cheese strudel with berry compote. Nothing sounds bad. Nothing that I would really go out of my way to have, though. They have Brunchcot. So instead of Epcot, it's Brunchcot. Avocado toast with marinated tomatoes and a plant-based cheese crumble on toasted ciabatta. Biscuits and gravy with impossible chicken fried steak and impossible sausage gravy. And fried cinnamon roll bites with cream cheese frosting and candied bacon. The biscuits and gravy sound good if they had real meat, but they
right.
are the fake meat stuff that I'm not interested in. And it's not even that, like, oh, I don't want the fake meat. I've had some of that stuff and I don't like the taste of it. It's just, it's not for me. They have a Fruit Loop shake, non-alcoholic beverage. Awful. It's like a milkshake with, like, Fruit Loops drizzled on top.
That sounds awful, doesn't it?
I'm not a big Fruit Loops guy, so yeah, doesn't really appeal to me. I could see the girls wanting to have that, though, if we were there. The Citrus Blossom, they have an orange sesame tempura shrimp with orange chili sauce. That sounds good. That's right up my alley. And a lemon meringue pie. Lemon curd, lemon mousse, and a toasted meringue.
Okay.
Again, not a big dessert guy, but the shrimp sounds okay. I would go for that. Farmer's Feast has 3 different menus, so it changes every month. Currently, they have veal tenderloin with a spring pea risotto and a red wine syrup, and a strawberry rhubarb upside down cake with creme fraiche whipped cream. Veal sounds okay with risotto. I would try that. March 31st through April 27th, they're going to have a seared scallop with tomato risotto and a tomato beurre blanc sauce and a blueberry buckle with lemon creme fraiche for the dessert. And then end of April through the end of the festival, May 27th, there's a seared pork tenderloin with corn risotto and roasted red pepper sauce, and then a peach galette with ginger vanilla whipped cream. Actually, the 3 entrees all sound good. I like risotto, so you don't have to do too much more. Have a nice little piece of meat with some risotto, and I'm probably on board. All 3 of those sound pretty good to me. I think the tenderloin with the corn risotto is the most appealing.
I'm not a big risotto guy.
You don't like it? See, I love rice, so risotto's right up my alley. They also have a grilled street corn on the cob with a savory garlic spread. That's available through the whole festival.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
You like street corn? Like corn on the cob like that? Yeah. It's not bad with the foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. Florida Fresh Booth, they have a grilled warm water lobster tail with key lime butter. Cubanito with mojo marinated pork belly, ham, Swiss cheese, pickles, and stone ground mustard sauce. So it's like a Cuban sandwich. And then a Florida strawberry shortcake. Those all sound pretty good. What have you had warm water lobster as opposed to like the main lobster? Or...
I don't recall. I may have. I'm sure I have, but I don't really recall having it.
I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've ever had it. If it's any different, I'm assuming they're smaller because usually the colder water makes them bigger, I think. But I don't know. I would try those.
The only ones with claws.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know that. The Fleur de Lis booth has a croissant à fromage de chèvre, which is basically a goat cheese croissant with herbs and roasted garlic. They also have a pulled duck confit with orange sauce and garlic rosemary mashed potatoes. That sounds good. They have a warm cake filled with lemon, lavender, and thyme-infused cream served with berry compote. No, thank you. And then they have a salted caramel beignet filled with vanilla cream. A goat cheese croissant sounds okay for a little snack. And the pulled duck, sign me up for that.
Yeah, no thanks.
The Hanami booth has the, they always have this, the frushi. It's like the fruit stuff that's in the shape of sushi. Strawberry, pineapple, lychee wrapped in a coconut rice and pink soy wrap. Served with whipped cream, raspberry sauce, and toasted coconut. They have a steamed bun filled with vegetables and plant-based soy meat. No thank you. And then a ramen cup, ramen salad shaken in a cup with fresh vegetables, grilled chicken, and a dashi broth with chili oil and yuzu. That's your soup, Pards. You might like that. Sounds okay. Any of those are striking you?
Not really.
So far, you don't seem super impressed.
No, underwhelming anything. So far.
The Honey Bistro, hosted by the National Honey Board, has chicken and waffles, crispy chicken, and a honey sweet cornbread waffle with whipped honey butter and spicy honey.
That's stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So it's a waffle made out of cornbread with mm-hmm. chicken on
and
it.
And I don't like cornbread either, so
oh well,
there's a lot of X's on this one.
I would love that.
That's I like Cedric I actually... Maxwell, but I don't like other cornbread.
I understand. I love cornbread, so I would seek that out. That sounds good. And then a honey glazed cauliflower with honey roasted carrot puree, wild rice pilaf, spring vegetables, grapes, and sunflower brittle. Now that's stuff that doesn't go with stuff. Cauliflower sounds good. It just kept getting like worse and worse as I kept reading. The Jardin de Fiestas has a guajillo pepper based pork on fried corn shells with black beans, shredded cabbage, crema mexicana, queso fresco, and chives. So that sounds like a taco. Braised pork taco. We'll try that. It sounds okay.
Yes, sir.
We have a tamale de rajas, which is poblano peppers, corn, and cheese in a masa topped with poblano cream sauce, crema mexicana, pickled carrots, and onions with chives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they have a flan for dessert, vanilla flan with guava coulis, whipped cream, and fresh fruit. Those all sound, I mean, I don't like, I don't like guava, but the two entrees sound pretty good. We have La Isla Fresca. They have an impossible Jamaican beef patty with spicy papyrus syrup. A lot of plant-based. I guess the Flower and Garden, they're going to have a lot of plant-based stuff, but a lot of the fake meats. And then they have a coconut tres leche cake, vanilla cake soaked with oat, almond, and coconut milks topped with toasted coconut. All right, not really anything knocking my socks off there. The Lotus House, they have a spicy mala chicken skewer with creamy peanut sauce. That definitely sounds good. House-made cheesy crab wontons. I would try that. And pan-fried vegetable dumplings. Mm-hmm. I would also try that. Mm-hmm. Those all sound good to
me. All solid choices right there.
I like a good like peanut sauce, like an Asian peanut sauce. It's usually a little spicy. It's good.
Speaking of, you know what I had on the golf course? Because Sammy had them when I played with him on Friday.
What's that?
I made a couple of just peanut butter sandwiches. I went to Publix and just grabbed a loaf of white bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I made some peanut butter sandwiches. I wrapped them up and I threw them in the golf bag. And I'll tell you, you know, you get that little protein on the golf course. And man, it always takes the edge off because I always try to leave some nuts in the bag. Because when I turn, I'm starting to jones for food. And then you overeat at lunch when you're done with your round. So.
Yeah, and you don't really want to get like a hot dog at the turn. Yeah, that's not right. A bad move.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's healthy, and it was good.
I know a lot of people throw the Uncrustables in their bag. Have you seen those?
Uh-uh.
They're like a frozen, pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they're like sealed into like a little disc, and they're individually wrapped. So you grab them out of the freezer, you throw them in your bag. By the time you hit the turn, they're nice and thawed out, ready to go.
Oh, I like that.
And they have like strawberry and peanut butter. They have just regular peanut butter and grape jelly. Those are pretty good. We'll move on to the Magnolia Terrace.
Okie doke.
They have a muffuletta panini with ham, salami, mortadella, provolone, and Swiss with an olive salad. That sounds pretty good to me. Like a muffuletta sandwich?
Yeah, it sure does.
Spicy chicken gumbo with an andouille sausage and long grain and wild rice. Gumbo, again, sign me up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And even this dessert sounds good.
It really does. Foster it certainly does. Pudding. Yep.
That's a 3 for 3. Is this in the USA? Is this in the American area? That's their booth, I think, the Magnolia Terrace.
You would assume so, right? With the name? I don't know.
I'm looking here. It has it. Yeah, it looks like it. That's where it is. Yeah, they all look. It looks pretty good. And moving on to the Northern Bloom. We have seared scallops with French green beans, marble potatoes, and a bacon vinaigrette.
Absolutely.
That sounds good to me. Beef tenderloin tips with mushroom bordelaise sauce, whipped potatoes, and garden vegetables. That also sounds good. Dear Lord,
yes.
And another dessert that sounds good, chocolate maple whiskey cake. So this is the, this must be Canada.
Canada, yeah. That's another 3 for 3, huh?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. This the pineapple promenade, they always have this thing, and it's got the hot dog. Spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney and plantain chips. I would try that. Like, that doesn't disgust me. Like, I would definitely try it, but I would never choose that if I'm at the festival. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was staying at the Poly and that was one of the quick serve options, I might try it.
There, yeah, you're right. Yep. But when you have so many options, it's just going to fall down the ladder.
Exactly. And then they have the Dole Whip, which they always have. In Italy, they have the Primavera Kitchen. They have bocconcini, I believe is how it's pronounced. It's a mozzarella, bocconcini, grape tomatoes, and pesto sauce. They have it arrabbiata, which is a penne pasta, spicy tomato sauce, and buttery shrimp. Quattro formaggi, which is a penne pasta and four cheese sauce, and then a chocolate cannoli with peanut butter ricotta filling. They don't sound bad, but the Italy booth always disappoints.
It certainly does. It certainly does.
Like, a couple of them sound okay. I'd probably try the spicy pasta with the shrimp, but it always gets bad reviews. Always does. Your favorite, the refreshment port, that just has like a dirty poutine on sale. Plant-based buffalo chicken tender poutine on crispy potato barrels with ranch and plant-based blue cheese crumbles. So not only is it filthy, now they're throwing in the fake meat on there, which I'm not a big fan of. So that's probably a pass. They have an ice cream booth, Swirled Showcase, which has a peanut butter and jelly soft serve ice cream that you can get, like a swirl of half peanut butter, half jelly soft serve. It's interesting. Strawberry basil sorbet in a waffle cone. Ice cream float. Can't go wrong with that. Root beer float with vanilla ice cream. It's a classic. Tangerine Cafe is now a food booth because it's not a restaurant anymore. There's grilled lamb or chicken kebabs.
That sounds fantastic, doesn't
it? That sounds pretty good, yeah. Mediterranean flatbread with tremula, roasted vegetables, artichoke, olives, and feta cheese. Sounds okay. And an orange blossom saffron cake. Probably not going to try that, but everything else sounds pretty good. We have the Trowel and Trellis, hosted by Impossible Foods. So you know this is going to have all the fake meats in it. We have an impossible meatball with lentil bread, spinach, marinated vegetables, and a creamy herb aioli. A soy-glazed sticky ribs with green onions and peanuts. Now, it doesn't say it's an impossible. Like, is that real meat? Real ribs? Because it doesn't say, like, vegan or vegetarian in the description. But it's got to be if it's by the Impossible Foods, right?
You would think so, yes.
Interesting. And then they have a chocolate mousse terrarium with a matcha crumble and chocolate soil. So that's their dessert. If those ribs are actually like pork ribs, I would try it. But if it's the impossible, I'm not going to. That's going to be a pass on there. And that's really it. The rest is like the Joffrey's carts with those specialty drinks that they have. Again, just like all the festivals, there's like three or four booths that impress.
Yeah, and they exactly. Have
like some good options in the rest.
Yep.
And the rest are just like, yeah, I guess I'd try a bite, see if I like it, but nothing that is really going to pull you towards it. I haven't been to the Flower and Garden. We went when we were on our honeymoon, so this was 13 years ago. The Flower and Garden was going on, and they didn't have food booths. It was just the topiaries.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a lot shorter. I think it was only April and part of May. And I don't even think they did the concerts at that point. Because they had only done the concerts at Food and Wine initially.
Food
right?
and Wine, yeah. I think Garden Rocks.
When they started doing the booths, I think that's when they started doing concerts for the. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. But I know they didn't have food booths back then. So this is one I'd like to go back and check out at some point, just because they do. The topiaries do look really nice. They do a nice job decorating it. But I still think the Festival of the Arts is probably the best one right now.
Oh, it is. It's my favorite.
Because the artwork is fantastic. Yes. We both love the Disney artwork, so having that part of it's good. They've introduced some good food booths over the years, and actually the concerts there, even though it's not like big names, they play like Broadway Disney songs. So like you can go and you're going to know the songs and sit down and listen to the you know, these really great performers who've performed on Broadway singing these songs. So I think it's really, they've done a good job with the Festival of the Arts. But yeah, the art booths are so good there. And they make it so interactive. They have like the chalk art and the that painting mural that you can like get your paint and you paint a few squares and it turns into a nice overall mural by the end of the week or whatever it is. Yeah, I like that one. I think that one's really good. Food and Wine is still pretty good because I think they do put a little more effort into the concerts there and they do have a lot more food booths and they usually have a few good ones, but it's just so crowded. That one like just draws in so many people. Ironically, when we're there in the summer, there's no festivals going on.
So wow, isn't that interesting?
Like the 1 week of
340 days a year, there's a festival. You're going to be there in that little gap, huh?
Hey, that's good for me, though, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it starts like the week after. I think Food and Wine is starting like end of July, and we're leaving in the middle of July. So
now here's a question for you.
Yes, please.
Should I try to get Kristen to come up with me a couple Sundays and do some vlogs? I think the people want it. My honest opinion of taste test, don't you think?
I would like to see it.
You absolutely would like to see it, wouldn't you?
Some like TikTok style videos, like
I could do some TikToks, but then I'll do a regular YouTube video.
You could do both. Yeah. You get both going on. There's definitely enough options on here to try and like check out the topiary, see what you think of them. Plus, can't go wrong with Epcot.
March
is tough because of spring break and Easter.
Yeah.
March is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I don't want to go during the crazy crowds.
Yeah. But my vote's for yes.
Okay.
I always vote for yes for you to go up.
I just don't know if I can get her there. I said something today. I said, could you go back to Disneyland next week? She's like, absolutely. And I said something about getting the itch to go up to Orlando. And I'm like, you know, it's been since December since I've been up there. She's like, yeah, I'm all set.
Like, I think you're more likely to get her there to stay than to go up for the day.
Yeah.
Back. I don't think she's into that.
Now, you would. If you were my neighbor, you'd go up and do a vlog, right?
Yeah, like, if you text me and you're like, you want to take a ride up to Epcot, I'd be like, sure, let's go. That would be fantastic. What would you, like, of the things we talked about, is there
Canada's really been on my mind. That's when we went through those options, that's when I said I got to get up there.
Yeah, the Northern Bloom is pretty good, and then the Magnolia Terrace one with the spicy chicken gumbo and the Buffaletta sandwich. Those both
not a good. Huge wild rice fan though, if I can be honest.
Okay,
a little too grainy for
gumbo
me.
Would be. I think it would be hidden pretty well in a gumbo.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But that's a good point. I like I said, rice is my favorite food. Just like it's so versatile. I like paella, I like Chinese fried rice. I like yellow rice, gumbo, anything like black beans and rice, red beans and rice. Like it's like the perfect carry. It's my favorite food. So you throw some rice in there. That's why I like the risotto stuff appealed to me. Where you kind of were like, it sounds okay, but
that's why you'd loved going on this cruise with us.
Just because you're going to the Mediterranean.
All these ports. You would love the food, all these options in Italy.
That's true, yeah.
There's these vloggers, they're travel vloggers, they're fantastic. They were somewhere, either in Florence or Rome, they got this sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it almost looked like a piece of pita bread, like it was like super thin, but it was like freshly made, and it was maybe like an inch on each side. They loaded it, it looked like, with like 6 pounds of Italian meats and it had like a garlic spread, and I'm like, oh my, and like he took a bite and showed it to you, and it was like a delicate, it was like a delicatessen, like it had everything in it, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so simple but it's so perfect. Like, you wonder why these places don't like aren't all over the place. Like, when you have a great delicatessen in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, how come there's not one in Lakewood Ranch, Florida?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't understand, because the food is fantastic. Like, you go into those old
school. Everyone says it's the bread, right?
No, you can make it. I mean, meat's meat.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, that's
a, everybody says, well, you know, the one and the one. Yeah, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the water, but I heard like certain climates are better for making bread. That's why like San Francisco is so good for like sourdough because of the humidity and stuff.
Well, lack of humidity.
That's what I mean.
Humidity in San Francisco.
Yeah. That's what makes it.
Yeah, I don't. Or it's just culturally. I mean, all you've got a huge Italian population, obviously, in the Northeast corridor.
Yeah. Well, mostly like. You, a lot of good delis are either, like you said, Italian or like Jewish delis. And that's what in the Northeast, we have a lot of Italians and a lot of Jewish
people. And a lot of Jewish people, yeah.
So it works out, yeah.
But it's just like, just something simple. Like there's nothing better than like a, just a good fresh sandwich.
Like and the bread, like you said,
Like
a hot pastrami sandwich, just loaded up with, all it needs is like a little bit of mustard, maybe some pickles and like good bread. And it's
good perfect. Good bread makes it though, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that makes all the difference in it. If you have a sandwich with just like mediocre bread, it doesn't matter what. You could put the most expensive meats in it, and it's just not going to be the same. Like you get that good, like crusty bread, but it's soft on the inside.
That's what we do because I'm not a sandwich guy. But every once in a while, like I'll just run out and get some boar's head meats, but I'll get like a good like French baguette, and then like we'll cut it in half. I'll put a little bit of olive oil, and then put it in the oven for like 3 minutes or whatever, just to get
just to
get it toasty. Maybe I'll toast a cheese, but like a regular boring turkey sandwich, like on a good, like you said, crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside. It's a great sandwich.
Yeah, you could have the same exact fillings if you put it between two pieces of cold white bread or like
nice like Wonder Bread
or something. It makes a huge it's all the difference in the world. But simple's the best though. Like that's why like. You get a good like margarita pizza, and if it's done right, there's nothing better than it. You don't need 30 toppings on your pizza to make it good.
Yeah, with usually some, like fresh basil.
Usually, the crazy stuff hides like
all the garbage. That's why the Amari pizzas are so good because they're just simple. Soppressata. It's got like an Italian meat, some onions.
Yeah, that doesn't have 40 things, doesn't have drizzles and all this other garbage. It's just
meatballs and stuffed crust. And
yeah. I mean, sometimes that stuff is good. It hits the spot. But when you want like good quality, the simple's always better.
It really is.
It's like when you get a good steak, they don't put all the garbage on it. It's just salt and pepper. And it's, you know, a good cut of meat. They cook it well and it tastes good. Like that Peter Luger didn't have anything on it, did it? Just that butter, salt, pepper, and butter was probably all that was on it.
Like people are like, what is so great about that place? And I said, it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
The onions and tomatoes. I would never in a million years think about doing that. And you asked me last week, I do it a couple times a week with that Luga sauce. And I'll sprinkle on maybe a little basil and salt and pepper. Simple. Cream spinach, simple. Everything was simple.
Yeah. That might have been the best steak I ever had. Bite, it was so tender, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? In the juices, like the way they tilt that plate.
And they pour the butter over it. And the plate comes out sizzling and the butter's on top. It's already
like cut. When he brought that out, were you just starting to like already like your heart was like pounding? Like, did you feel your heart in your chest? Like, oh, this is going to be fantastic.
I was like nervous though, because I didn't know what to expect. And it looked so simple. And it was done like a little under what I usually like, but I'm not going to send back a steak at Peter Luger's, of course.
And then when they did the little pyramid, because like they pre-cut it.
Yeah.
And then he throws the three pieces and then sprinkles that butter juice on top.
Yeah, yeah. He puts it on your plate.
And you're like, oh my God, is this going to be an experience or what?
And that first bite was so good, wasn't it? You just taste it was like concentrated steak flavor. It didn't need anything else. Like you always put salt on your food, but you didn't you didn't touch it.
I didn't touch it.
Yeah. It was perfect.
I think we're gonna be back there. Do you?
You think so?
Yeah.
You're already planning on doing like a family trip to the next St. John's UConn game.
Yeah, you're in for that. Your wife will go too.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But she's not a big steak fan, is
she? No, she wouldn't like that place.
Oh, she wouldn't like that?
Did they have any? They didn't even have anything else besides steak, right?
Yeah, I think they did. I think I saw like a fish and a chicken.
Oh, I didn't even look. Obviously, I didn't look at that part of the menu.
Richard Veal, Sultan Boca, Patino. They're in, aren't they? I think they're in.
If they lose a third time to Seton Hall, though, if they get like blown out, you think they know.
Because, I mean, they've won five in a row.
Yeah.
They've got some good wins. It's always how are you going into the tournament.
Well, they say they're not supposed to look at that anymore. The committee has to judge them. Well, yeah, you know that's not true. You know what would be great, though, is that New Mexico's on the bubble. Imagine St. John's versus New Mexico, first four in, father versus son.
St. John's is a dangerous team. Like, they look, when I watch them, I'm like, they've got some good ball players on that team.
When they're playing good, they're hard to beat.
Soriano is like, you know, it's like he doesn't play for 20 minutes, and then, like, it's like, God, this guy could score every time. He's just an animal.
Yeah. Well, even the game we went to, they were beating UConn at the half, St. John's. Like, they can hang with them.
Yeah, they can. They can play with anybody. They're a good club.
But they can lose to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. They're just so inconsistent. But it seems like they're rounded into form right now.
But they can play great defense.
Yeah.
They moved the ball. Like, whatever Patino went off on that team, I didn't know what the hell he's talking about.
It worked. They haven't lost since
it. It honestly worked. Remember I said maybe he's a little too old and his...
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew what he was saying.
Yeah, he turned it right around.
They lost. They were losing the season. He said, I got to do something right now.
Yeah.
Where the kids are like, you know what? Screw you. We're going to win in spite of you, you little prick.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's sitting there with his arms crossed like he always does and like, yep.
In his white suit. Oh, I got my formal attire packed too. I was excited.
Oh, you don't have to start squeezing all my old crap that I wore in college interviews. Nice.
I have like a Florida jacket. It's like a lighter one. Kind of, you know, you said you have your Florida jacket. I got one that's kind of like that.
It's nice. The formal. It's so dumb, isn't it?
It is dumb.
Men's stag dinner. That just sounds so snobby, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Are you more excited for that or the pig roast?
I don't know. Probably the pig roast.
Yeah.
Did you see, like, putt for dough? There's so much stuff going on.
Well, I didn't, and we can talk about this after, but I didn't realize, you know, we really missed out on the practice round last time, though. Because they have, like, they have stuff, they have the buffet before, they have stuff afterwards, like hors d'oeuvres and stuff after. Like, I feel like we dropped the ball on that one. We'll make up for it. That'll be good. I'm excited. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about here? Flower and Garden or otherwise? Out. Any of the merchandise interest you?
Not really.
A lot of Orange Bird stuff. I'm a big Orange Bird guy.
Yeah, so I like Orange Bird stuff too.
But it's a lot of, like, it's all clothes and, like, backpacks and purse. Like, it's not stuff that I want. The only thing they had that I thought was pretty cool, I don't know if you saw it, it's like a stuffed animal Orange Bird, and then you can turn it inside out, and it turns into, like, Spaceship Earth that is, like, is an orange, and it has, like, a stem on it, so it's an orange Spaceship Earth. I thought that was cool. Mm. That was the one thing I liked, but other than that, probably wouldn't spend too much money on that stuff. But, all right, well, I guess we could wrap things up here.
All right.
At that point. We mentioned before our YouTube page, youtube.com/@WDWBTG. Of course, our website is WDWBTG.com. You can subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You can follow us on social media at WDWBTG. That is Facebook. That is Instagram. That is Twitter. That is TikTok. You can go to our Facebook group, WDW, Beyond the Gates Podcast Family. Join us there. You can email the show, info@WDWBTG.com, Mike@WDWBTG.com, and Gary@WDWBTG.com. Is there anything I left out, partner?
No, you hit everything there, Parts.
All right, that's going to do it for episode number 519 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For my co-host, Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again
next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
And